So we should be able to go till 7:40, correct? Okay, great. That gives you enough time. Great. There's a one-line statement of Shmuel that appears twice. Once here on Daf in Chulin Daf Tzadi Zayin Amud Beis, and again fast-forwarding to Kuf Yud Aleph Amud Beis, and Shmuel says, "Kavush harehu kimivushal." So if you're on Tzadi Zayin Amud Beis, depending on the Tzuras Daf, it's about 10 lines down from the top. Shmuel has a whole string of statements here, but the one that we want to focus on today is Kavush Harehu Kimavushal. And we're going to try to figure out what this means. If you take a look in the Ein Mishpat, he tells you that these halachas are codified in Yoredei Siman Kufei. And in Mitzvah Hashem, later on, as we go along, we want to look in Shulchan Aruch Siman Kufei to see what the implications and the rules and regulations that apply to Kavush Harehu Kimavushal.
Are we going to get a nusha here?
We're not going to get into get a nusha today, and probably not tomorrow. But even though I touched
mission
on it,
right.
I touched on it yesterday, but I realized that we skipped something major here, and that we can't let it go by. Now, another word for kavush, as we'll see in the poskim, is shriya, and basically, what we're talking about is soaking. And Shmuel does not specify exactly how long this soaking process took place. So let's say, for example, you have meat and milk that the meat is soaking in the milk. Or, for example, you have a piece of nevela that's soaking in something that has chometz in it, tavlinim in it, whatever it might be. So this is called kavush. And kavush means that as a result of this soaking process, it's already mevushal. Now we know that in a mixture of isur v'heter, bishul is what engenders what we call pleita and blias tam. So that at the very least, one thing is absolutely certain, that's beyond the shadow of a doubt, that Shmuel is telling us that as a result of kavush, there's going to be blia, which means that if you have isur soaking in heter, in rotev, whatever it might be, that rotev, even though everything is cold, is going to absorb the taste of that isur. And for that matter, if you have basar, which is shore in cholav, now the cholav receives the tam of the basar and vice versa, and you have an isur bishul of basar b'cholav. You have basa b'cholav. So the first question we want to ask is, how long of a process? I mean, obviously, if you take out cold meat that just fell, you know, into rotev or some sort of liquid, and it the shriya was just momentarily soaked, that's not awesome.
Is this hot or cold? The water.
Everything is cold. Everything is cold. So it's tzonin b'tzonin. And generally speaking, the rule of thumb for tzoni b'tzoni is hadacha, right, which means just rinse it out. And here, because it's kavush, he's saying it was like it was cooked together, which obviously asks everything, or makes you require shishim for bittel. So obviously, again, if for a split second, for an instant, something was soaking and everything is cold, that's not going to be kimavushal. So how long of a process, you know, how long does it have to be kavush in order to be kimavushal and to create a problem of blia? So the answer to that question doesn't lie here in Masechta Chulin. It actually lies in Masechta Avodah Zarah. And there, the rule of thumb is what's called me'es le'es. Now, literally speaking, me'es le'es means 24 hours. So the shear, the minimum shear, in order to activate the principle of kavush kimavushal, is going to be me'es le'es. And that is the sheet of the Rosh in Masecht Avodah Zarah, in the fifth perek. And it's interesting that the Rush applies this principle in the opposite direction as well. What do I mean? That if you want to get the Bliya out, right, you want to be Machshir something through Hechsher, you don't need the classical Hagolah, which applies to Bishul, you don't need the Libun, which applies to Tzli, you know, in this fire. All you need is Shriya. And the Shriya, if you soak it, let's say, for example, you have a glass jar, a glass utensil, and there was chametz during the course of the year that was soaking in this glass utensil, or let's say more likely a wooden utensil. Right? They used to take caskets of wood and they would soak yayin nesach for periods of longer than meislay, sometimes for longer periods. So the law is that kibolo kach polto, just like the blia took place through kavush, so to the plata, the reverse, getting that blia out of the walls of the kli in this case, also can be achieved through kavush. Hence the halach of shriya. I don't know if you've ever seen shriya. My father, may rest in peace, used to do this. He used to take a bathtub before Pesach, about 3 days before Pesach, and he used to fill it up with water.
Right.
And we used to take all that glassware, which only came in contact with chametz in cold, and we used to put it into the bath.
Right. Mamula Hashan used to do that.
Yeah, so you remember that. Okay, you see, if I talk to the young people...
Big basin.
Big basin. The young people, they've probably never seen it. But this is all coming from the sugya in Psachim, and also the sugya in Avodah Zarah, of kibolo kach polto. The only one who disagrees with the Rush, and it's a pretty, it's a rare shita. You know, it's like one of those das yachids that never really surfaces in halacha, is the opinion of the Mardechai. The Mardechai, who, as you know, was one of the Balei Chachmei Ashkenaz, the time of the Rishonim, the time of the Balei Tosis, he's of the opinion that in order to engender Kavush, you need 3 days. It's got to soak not in the Eis L'Eis of one 24-hour period, but multiply that by three. And the proof that he adduces is from also the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, because the Gemara tells you, what do you do with these caskets of wine that were used to hold Yayin Nesach, and now you want to use those caskets, you buy them from Goyim, and now you want to use them for kosher wine. And the Gemara says that you have to fill them up for 3 years. Excuse me, 3 years. For 3 days. Three times Meis L'Eis. And based on that, he sort of like moves backwards, the Mardechai, and he says, well, why is it necessary to do the Shriya for 3 days? Obviously, you're applying the principle of Kibolo Kach Polto. It must be that the Bli itself required 3 days. So in a certain sense, the Mardechai is a big Mekil. In a slight sense, he's a machmir in terms of how to do the hechsher, because he's going to require 3 days. And you'll see in the poskim that in terms of glassware for Pesach, they will be machmir, and they'll tell you to change. You know, to
change the water.
What do you say?
Change the water.
To change the water, right? You'll drain out the water at the end of each Meis L'Eis period of time and refill it with new water. And this is all based on the sheet of the Mardechai. However, according to strict halacha, in Siman Kufhei, which, as I said before, is the Siman of Kavush, we accept the sheet of the Rush, which again is a Chumrah in terms of the Bliya, but a Kula in terms of the Plata. The Chumrah and the Bliya means that even if they only were soaking in water for a period of 24 hours, that's enough to engender Bliya. And that's going to mean that we're going to have to be machmir for anything that's soaking for a period of 24 hours of Meis L'Eis.
And for Plato, it's different?
For Plato, it should be the same, according to the Rush, but the minig is to be machmir for the Mardechai, and in a sense, we're taking both ends of the string, l'chumra. We're going to be machmir, assume that Iser is bolea, and I should say it's polate, and the heter is bolea after 24 hours of soaking, and we're going to also be machmir for the Mordechai, because that seems to be clear from the Gemara in Avodah Zarah that you have to soak in order to get the blia out. In this case, chametz, or in the case in the Gemara in Avodah Zarah of Yayin Nesach, you're going to have to have it soaking for a period of three days. Now, I found a very, very fascinating essay in this sefer called Moreshes Moshe, which I think I've quoted in the past. And if you take a look on page Kuf Tzadi Vav, you should have a copy of that. You'll see Siman Nun Beis Beinyan Kavush Kimavushal. And in this essay, he raises three different questions, all of which are pretty fundamental, about Kavush Kimavushal. So what I'm going to do here is I'm going to first present these three questions very superficially, you know, just to give you like a taste of it, you know, to dip our toes into it. And then afterwards, we're going to go into each one of these three, one by one, be'iun. So now I'm just giving you something that's very superficial. You may not really chap what I'm saying. The first issue he wants to know is this 24-hour period, does it have to be continuous? Or even if it's not continuous, it's sach hakol, it's all told 24 hours of soaking. The second issue he wants to know is whether or not kavush kimavushal should be taken literally, that the kvisha process is bishul. And he takes this very seriously because he wants to suggest, and we'll soon see it inside, that according to one shita, and it might even be the shita of the Rambam, Kovush Kimavushal would be also on Shabbos, because Shabbos has 39 malachos, one of which is Bishul. And if we accept Kovush Kimavushal as an identity, which means that Kovush is actually a replacement, a substitute kind, a substitute method for Bishul, then it would be also on Shabbos. Or no, should we say that Kovush is Kimavushal in the sense that the result, the outcome, is similar to Bishul? Just like in Bishul, there's Plata and Blia of Tam, there's an exchange and transfer of Tam, so too through Kavush it's an exchange of Tam. But that Kavush is not really, really Bishul. And if on Shabbos, when there's no Iser of Blia and Plata, there's only an Iser Bishul, Kavush would be Mut. And the third issue that he addresses is whether or not Kavush Kimavushal is a step-by-step process, meaning from the very beginning of the Kvisha, already the process of Blia is taking place. It reaches its, shall we say, fruition or pinnacle at the end of 24 hours. Or shall we say no? Basically, nothing has happened until after the 24-hour period. At the end of the 24-hour period, that's the moment of truth. That's when the Blia takes place. So again, those are just, you know, very, very quickly, as we say, you know, superficially, giving you three issues that he's going to address in this essay. So now let's go through them one by one. The first issue that he wants to address is called Ritzifus. Ritzifus means, do we require may ace l'ace biritzifus? Ritzifus is resh sadi yud pei vav tuf, which means continuous, non-stop.
Wouldn't one depend on three?
That's excellent. Okay, you're a bit ahead of me. So could you ask me a question in about 10 minutes? Because I'll be more oriented and able to answer you. But he's going to make an argument to see if we can sew this all up together. But first, I just want to go through each individual question on its own. So the first question addresses the scenario of Kvisha. Let's just throw out numbers here. Let's say, right, 6 times 4 is 24. So let's say over the period of 4 days, you had this Kvisha, this very object was kavush in this very liquid for 6 hours. Then you took it out, And 24 hours later, you put it back in, and you did this continuously for 4 days until finally the sach hakol, the total, is 24 hours worth of kvisha, but it wasn't biritzifus. And he wants to suggest that this is a fundamental machlokes between the gedolei haposkim. And if you take a look on the bottom right, he gives you an amazing list of poskim who maintain, and this is a great kula, that kavush kibivushal only applies if all the 24 hours are ritzufos, shaos ritzufos. He's got the shach, he's got a less well-known posek called the Me'il Tztaka, who's quoted by Reb Kivega. He has the Shev Yaakov, who's a very, very great posek in the laws of Issa V'Heter and Kashrus. And then finally he has the Nesivos in his Chavas Das. And by the way, whenever you see the Nesivos, you have to always check out the Prima Gadim. And usually the Prima Gadim is going to argue with the Nesivos, the Chavas Das. But here, the Prima Gadim applauds the Chavas Das. And this is going to appear in the later poskim, in the Rav Shulchan Aruch and in the Chasam Sofer. They all hold, and this is a great kula, that Kavush Kimavushal will only apply if it was Sha'os Ritzufos. And that means that you can't be mitzare if you can't join 6 hours here, or an hour here, or an hour there. It's got to be continuous. On the other side of the spectrum, which is L'chumra, we have a long list of poskim who are of the opinion, and this is a great chumra, that Kavush Kimavushal will apply even if it wasn't Ritzufin, it was what we call Beserugin. And at the top of the list, he's got the Chikrei Lev, who's one of the outstanding Sephardic poskim, and then he has the Darkei Moshe, which is the Ramo himself. The Afim Hifsik Ba'emtza Mitztarfos HaSholz L'Shir Kvisha, a tremendous chumra. He adds to this list the Zecholi Avram, and he has the Tzemach Tzedek, the Shari Deo, the Rokeach, Ikrei Direitara, he's got the Darki Chiva, he's got a very impressive list. Now, after anthologizing this Machlokas HaPoskim, he ends up by saying, V'tzorech biur b'may pligi. What is the nature of the Machlokas? What's the root of this Machlokas? So he says, but before we're able to really attack that question head on, we have to go on to the second question, which is even more fundamental. And that is, how do you define kavush kimavushal? And he says that you have two different approaches. One approach is that kavush is bishal. Be'etzem hapu'ula, he says. No, it's the action itself of kavush is an act of bishul. Now, you and I know that we can't take this literally. Come on, who are you fooling? I mean, bishul means when you cook something with a fire. There's no fire here. Everything is cold. But I think what he means is that the Gemara tells us in Masechet Shabbos that what makes something bishul, the softening process. Now, we're used to thinking of bishul in ochlim. The Gemara says that you chayef of bishul even in metals and things of that sort. Because what happens is, if you take a very sturdy, hard piece of metal and you subject it to very, very intense heat, that after a certain period of time, it will actually soften. And then you can even bend it. And this is something that, you know, they do in factories and manufacturing commercially in mass, you know. And that too is a chiyuv bishul. Bishul really means richuch. Richuch means softening. Resh yud chaf vav chaf.
Except for eggs.
Eggs could be the opposite. You know, that you harden the egg. And that's gonna be an interesting question on the assumption that we identify bishul as richuch. It seems that bishul might go in two ways. You know, it starts to soften and then it gets hard, and that too is bishul.
But that means it's the result.
The process or the result. So he's saying the following, that if the process of bishul is to be identified as richuch, then that's exactly what Kavush is all about, according to this approach. We're going to see another approach. And therefore, Kavush is like a pu'ula of Bishul, to the extent in which, as we'll soon see on the next page, he's going to apply it even to Shabbos. Or do we say no? Kavush is not meant to change the essence of the object. The object that was soaking basically remains as it was, or can remain as it was, and it still would be kavush. In other words, if you define in the first definition kavush as bishul, then what you're saying is there's got to be some process in which through which you have changed the very structure or the nature of the object. That's called shinui beguf hadavar, what we call richuch. That's bishul. In the second definition, he's saying no. Kavush doesn't change the object that's soaking. It only removes the tam. So now we shift our emphasis from the process to the totsah, and we cannot identify kavush as bishul, because again, bishul means to change the mahus hadavar, the essence of the structure of the physical object. It's very material and molecular structure. No, that's not what we're doing. What we're doing is the totsah of the pula. In a sense, we're using bishul only as a code word, as you know, for communication purposes. We want to transmit the idea that is very much related to bishul, but not bishul itself, of transmission or transferal of tam. Just like if you take two pieces of meat and you cook them together, there'll be a transmission of tam. So too, through kavush, there's a transmission of tam. The tam goes out of one object and into the other object. For example, if you have yayin nesech that's soaking and sitting in a wooden casket, then the wood is going to be bolea. But we're not saying that the wood has changed. It could be that the physical structure of the wood might be identical. The wood is so tough that even after kavush it doesn't soften. That would be irrelevant, because we're not trying to equate kavush with bishul and say that kavush is bishul, but rather what we're trying to do is saying that just as bishul accomplishes the goal of taking the tam out of object X that's being cooked with tam with Y, and the tam now enters into and is absorbed by object B, that's exactly what happens in kavush. And then Afkamina to this second chakira that he has is twofold. Number one, on the bottom left of page Kuf Tzadi Zayin, he has a discussion amongst the Chachmei Ashkenaz where the Kavush Kemevushal only applies to Kvashim. Kvashim are like pickled objects, you know, which become very, very soft, and they change the very structure. Like you take a cucumber and you put it into brine, and you what's the word I'm looking for? Anyway, you soak it and
pickle.
You pickle it. Okay, we'll call it you pickle it, and then you change the cucumber into a pickle. But other things, for example, when they're soaked, they're not misrachachim al yedei akvisha, and therefore that's not considered kavush, because kavush, insofar as it is identical with bishul, would only apply if there's some sort of richuch process. But the more fascinating nafkavina, I think, is on the next page, on Kuf Tzadi Ches, on the bottom right, and there he wants to know whether kavush kemevushal applies to Shabbos as well. And he says the following, that Dodu Achronim, the Achronim address the following question, Ha'im kavush kemevushal havi kemevushal mamish? It really is to be equated with mevushal, and the emphasis here is on the mice of the pool of the process. O dilmo, or should we say havikim mevushal gaklinin blia uplita, only as far as the outcome is concerned, but not the process itself. And to our great, great surprise, he quotes the Plaisi of Rav Yonasan Ivershitz, who understood in the Rambam, in Hilchas Shabbos. It's interesting, this is the overlap, the interface between the laws of Shabbos and the laws of Achol Sasuros, that the Rambam, when he says HaKovesh B'Shabbos Asur Shehu Kimavushal, and that's in the 22nd parak of Hilchas Shabbos, what the Rambam means to convey to us is the very revolutionary equation between Kolish and Bishul, to the extent to which Midoraisa, it's a Bishul process, and you have violated an Isu Doraisa of Bishul. And if it would have only been the placey, that's one thing, but if you take a look in the Aruch HaShulchan, here in Sima Kufhei, in your day, that's what we're studying, he wants to say that Kovush Kimavushal Nemar Gam Le'inyan Shabbos. And he vacillates back and forth how to interpret the Rambam, but he's definitely inclined to think like the placey thought, that the Rambam would accept the analogy Kimavushal to, you know, taking it the full 9 yards, and therefore generating an Isur Kovush on Shabbos. The Prima Gadim, on the other hand, the Chochmas Adam and the Yad Yehuda, three of the later Achronim, go ballistic over this. Hada Ka'amar, Kovush Arein Kimavushal, Kavano Shedino Kimavushal, Legabi Zeshu Mavlia Umaflit. Yes, there are dinim of Bishul, but that's only insofar as the outcome is concerned, namely the Bliya and the Plata. And therefore, the placey cannot be right. The placey quotes the Rambam that seems to equate Kovush and Mevushal. He says, no. What the Rambam means is that Midrabanan, as a Shvus, the Rabbanan prohibited Kovush on Shabbos. And the proof, says the Chochmas Adam, is the fact that the Rambam appears in Perek Chof Beis Mehilcha Shabbos. In other words, the Rambam is split into two parts. In Perek Tes, the Rambam talks about the Doraisas of Bishul. For example, he says that Yechayv and Bishul for Toldos Eish. If you heat up, you take a fire and you heat up a piece of metal, and then you put an egg on the metal and it fries, you know, Yechayv for that on Shabbos, the Rambam says. That's codified in Perek Tes, where the Rambam defines Bishul as in Isu Doraisa, Melacha Doraisa. If you fast forward from Perek Tes to Perek Chof Beis, there the Rambam is talking about the Shvusim, the Drabanans of Bishul. So therefore, don't come to the conclusion that the Rambam equates Kovush with Mevushal as a Mais, as a Pu'ula of Bishul, which is what the Placey tried to do in the Rambam. But rather, the equation or the analogy between Kovush and Bishul is not in the Pu'ula, but rather in the Totsas HaPu'ula, namely in the Bliya and the Plata. And this leads us to the third issue that we mentioned. And that is whether or not the process of Kovush is a gradual process that begins from the very moment that the solid is soaking in the liquid, or the liquid in the solid, or no, that process takes place only at the end of the 24 hours. And this you'll see on page Kuf Tzadi Tes, on the right column, Zman Pleitas HaTam. And he first quotes the Chavas Yar Bachrach, and Rav Yonasan Ibishitz, and the Imre Bina. The Imre Bina lived here in Yerushalayim, if I remember correctly. His name was Arbach, not related to Rav Shlomo Zalman. And he was the Rav here in Yerushalayim. And they write on the top left column, if you want to underline this, which is exactly what I'm going to do, Shebechol rega verega polate ma'at tam. That from the get-go, from the first moment of the kvisha, the process of plata begins, and the solid is polate, or the liquid is polate, from the moment of kvisha. So what happens then at, you know, when the clock strikes midnight, literally, you know, Mace Lace? He says the following. It's a real interesting lumdus here. He says that although there's already a plate at the beginning of the 24-hour period, from the moment of soaking, hu tam kolush. Now, I think, that maybe what he's referring to is the sugya of nat bar nat. Because the Rishonim in Nat Bar Nat say that that's called the Tam Kolish. So if I cook fish in a fleshika pot, and then I want to eat the fish with milchiks, that's already a Tam Kolish. That's Nat Bar Nat. He's borrowing that conceptual terminology of Tom Kolsch and applying it here to the within the 24-hour period of Kolsch. At every moment within the 24-hour period, that Tom Kolsch in a gradual process is getting stronger and stronger and stronger. Uliacher Chavdal, it shows. You know, when the clock strikes 24, Nasa HaTam Chazak, it becomes not a Tom Kolsch, but a Tom Gom or a Tom Bari, a very strong, profound Tom. And those who disagree with him, including the Yad Yehuda and others, the Chavastas, they hold no. HaPleita Naseis Rakli Achar Chof Dalet Shos. And what do they argue about? They argue about the case of Kovush in Chametz. Because Chametz is Asur B'mashu. So let's say, in the middle of Pesach, you find that, you know, Chametz was sitting in a pot, a cold pot of pesedika food, and there's liquids there, and it's kavush, then the Chavis Yoyer and all those who follow in his footsteps are going to get very nervous about this. It's a Tom Kolsch, but the answer is that Chametz is also even b'mashu. Now, I'm not sure if Chametz also b'mashu is exactly the same as a Tom Kolsch. Ostensibly it is, but that has to be taken under advisement. According to the Yad Yehuda and the Chavis Das, on the other hand, when the Pleita only takes place after 24 hours, then nothing happens until 24 hours. There's not even a Tam Kolsch, there's not even an Isur Mashu, and therefore in Chametz we could be Mekil. Another Nafkamina, which is pretty much identical with the first Nafkamina, is going to be, according to Rabbi Yehuda, and we saw that Rav accepts Rabbi Yehuda, that Min Bimino Lo Botel. That means that Min Bimino genders an Isur B'mashu. What would be the din of Kavush? And the answer is, if you hold like the Chavis Yair, then Rabbi Yehuda's principle of Min Bimino Lo Botel will apply in Kavush Miyad. You won't have to wait the Miesles, because even though the Tam is a Tam Kolish, nevertheless, it's not worse or better, if you will, than a Tam of a Mashu, which is enough to engender an Isur. And now we come back to your question. Having seen these three issues, one by one, is there a relationship between these issues? And I think that the answer is yes. There is a relationship. And a very definite one. Let me begin with the first issue of whether we need 24 hours with Tzufos or even Beseirigin. I'm reminded of a sugya in Baba Basra in the third perek about Cheskas Gimel Shana. Right, so let's say there's a Marakama, he owns the karka, and there's a Machzik who's been sitting on this karka for and working the land, producing the fruit, marketing the fruit, whatever you'll have, and he's been doing this as if he's the balabas for 3 years. And halacha is, and we derive it according to Halchei Usha from the law of Negicha, that just like a shor, which is a shartam, changes its status after 3 negichos to that of a muad, so too the machzik will, as a result of 3 years, would, you know, each year is an individual element that's parallel to a negicha, will acquire his ownership. There'll be a transfer of ownership from the marakama to the machzik after 3 years. But the Gemara says the following, that you need ritzufin. Let's say, for example, the machzik is there on years 1, 3, and 6, but on years 2 and 5, he's off to Florida and he's taking a vacation. In such a case, he doesn't have a cheskas gimel shanim. So I would ask the following question. Why is it that if we derive cheskas gimel shanim from the gichas of shar amuad, why do we need Ritzufin? Why is it that he has to be there for 3 years? I mean, if Cheskas Gimel Shanim is nothing more than, you know, the shtika of the Marakama, the Baal Bais, why did he sit there and silently say nothing? So, you know, if the guy does something strange, like every other year he takes a vacation, he leaves the land fallow. So one might say that that's an unusual way of being machzik, and therefore the marakam is not, you know, is not expected to make a macha, you know, a protest. Or perhaps he came during those 2 years when the machzik wasn't there, and he didn't even see the machzik. But if we're deriving it from Gimel Negichos of Shara Muad, based on Holchei Yusha, then what is this halach of Ritzufos? And I think what's being said here is that Cheskas Gimel Shanin is not the arithmetic addition, the sum total of every little moment of Chazakah, but rather, with the third Negicho, with the third year, the transfer of ownership is achieved, is clinched. It's all that last year, that last day of the last year, you know, when the third year is complete. But basically what engenders the Chazakah is the Arichus Zman, meaning the passage of time. Nothing happens until that passage of time. It's the passage of time, and we view the 3 years as one indivisible unit of time. It's only when that is achieved, then the chazak applies. So let's go back now and see if that paradigm of Cheskas Gimel Shanin, which requires Ritzufin, could shed any light on Kovush Kimavushal.
The passage of time.
Yeah.
Why does it have to be Ritzuf?
What I mean to say, maybe I didn't clarify it, what I meant to say is that there's one indivisible entity called 3 years. You know, we call it 3 years because we divide up time into years, but it's really a block of time. If I had another word for it, I would use it. You know, if it was, let's say we'll create a word for 3 years, right? And we'll call it thrice annual, you know, something like that. We'll come up with a term. That is a period of time. It's a block of time. And you need that block of time in order to transfer the ownership. That's called Ritzufin. How does this impact on Kavush? Well, what is this halakha meis leis? You know, now we're not talking about years, we're talking about days, and we're talking about one specific day, a 24-hour period. But what is that 24-hour period? Is that 24-hour period a period of what I call arichus zman, meaning it's a unit of time, and everything is clinched and generated at the, you know, when the clock strikes midnight, as we said, that's it. Everything, hakol munach, you know, everything's inherent in that last second of time that completes the 24 hours. Or no. Perhaps we could say that there's no equation between Kovush Kimavushal and Cheskas Gimel Shanin. Kovush Kimavushal doesn't require a tzifus. And why is that so? Because Kovush Kimavushal of 24 hours, Meis Leis, means that every single moment of that 24-hour period stands on its own. The 24-hour period is just a sach hakol. It's a sum total of X number of hours, X number of minutes, X number of seconds. That's what engenders the, you know, the halacha of kimavushal. And therefore, if it's X number of moments or seconds of kavush, of kvisha, then why do you need Ritzufin? Because we're not talking about one indivisible block of time that's made up of 24 hours. We're not talking about a clincher that, you know, the clock strikes 24 and everything is munach, everything's inherent in that one split second when you crossed over the boundary of Meis Leis. No! Meis Leis is the sum total of every single moment that makes up as a particle, as a part of the 24-hour period. And therefore, what difference does it make whether it's Ritzufin or Beseirigin? I had 6 hours on one day, another 6 hours on another day, but at the end of the time period, I have that process that took place for 24 hours, albeit Beseirigin with interruptions in the middle, but nevertheless, we have the 24-hour period. If it's a block of time, what I called an arichus zman, then you have to have Ritzufin. But if, on the other hand, it's not a block of time, but rather it is a sum total of many, many different moments of time that do what they have to do, and finally I get to the point where they do everything they have to do and accomplish their goal, because we've hit a total of 24 hours, that could be Beseirgin. It doesn't have to be Beritzufin. And maybe, perhaps, that issue of Ritzufin versus Seirgin, with our two definitions of how Kovash works, really depends essentially on the second issue that we mentioned before, the Geder, the definition of Kovash Kimavushal. And we said we wondered whether or not on Shabbos you'd be chayv for Kovash as an Issa D'oraisa. So would you say that Kovash Kimavushal is an equation in the very Pe'ula of Bishul, which we said was to be Merachech? And basically what happens in the case of Kovash Kimavushal is that just like in Bishul, through the process of heating, you soften an object and change its very molecular structure, so too, through a Kovash process, you change the object itself. It's another form or methodology of Bishul, of being Merachech. In fact, as we saw earlier, there are some poskim amongst the Chachmei Ashkenaz who are of the opinion that Kovash Kimavushal applies only in those kinds of foods that can be pickled and they actually change their form. They are softened by Kovash. Something that's very hard, a Dover Kosher, is not subject to the din of Kovash Kimavushal. Then obviously what we're talking about is a process. You can't just snap your fingers and say all of a sudden it became soft. 24 hours, the clock struck midnight, oh, now a hard substance. You know, it's not magical. It's got to be a step-by-step process. You break down the 24 hours into its smaller component units of hours and minutes and seconds. And therefore, I would maintain that anyone who would tell you that Kovash equals Mevushal, which means that it's a process of softening and changing the object in its very structure, as we said, and he would apply this on Shabbos as well, that's going to be the placing in the Rambam, he would maintain that Seirgin would also create Kovash Kimavushal, meaning whatever object you're trying to soften, it doesn't have to be a continuous every, you know, it's not like in one fell swoop it changes its form. It's a gradual process. You can interrupt that process. The same thing, by the way, applies to Bishul on Shabbos. You don't have to be Mavashal on Shabbos Biritzifus. You start softening it at point number one, time T1, then you do a little Bishul, then you could stop, and then again you turn on the fire, until finally it becomes Mavushal. But according to the second Shita, and that is the Shita of the Prima Gadim and the Chachmas Adam, that there's no equation between Kovash and Mavushal, and for that matter on Shabbos, you know, you might have a shvus, but there's certainly no d'oraisa recognition of kovush as an act of bishul. And in fact, kovush could apply to even hard substances, like the casket that's holding the wooden casket that's holding on to the wine. You know, the yayin nesach, and maybe for that matter, you can have kovush kimavushal and klicheres, and klicheres certainly is not going to be softened, so it applies even when it's not a merachech situation, because what is the equation, so to speak, equation in inverted commas between kovush and mevushal? It's not in the process, it's not in the pu'ulas bishul, it's not bishul, it's only in the totsah. We're only borrowing the term bishul, we're using it to convey something for educational purposes. It shouldn't be misunderstood. Kovash kimavushal means that just like a heating process causes a transmission of ta'am, so too a kovash situation causes a transfer of ta'am. But that's a brand new halacha which Shmuel has established, and that applies at the end of this 24-hour period. The 24-hour period, when it comes to its fruition, its termination, that's the moment of truth that we spoke about before, when the clock strikes midnight and the bliya now becomes a bliya. And if that be the case, then we're ready for the third issue. And that is whether or not there's at least a mashahu of pleita and bliya from the first moment and on, which would be an afkamina legabe chametz bepesach or legabe min bimino according to Rabbi Yehuda. There's the Chavis Yoyer and his Seah, his whole group, they maintain that b'chol rega v'rega polate ma'at ma'at. And there's a beginning of a tam and a pleitas ha-tam, although it's a tam kolush. Obviously, the Chavis Yoyer understood that kovash kimavushal is a process, And the 24-hour period is the sach hakol. It's the sum total of many, many different smaller moments of time. And therefore, we're talking about a process. And if we're talking about a process, we're talking about richuch. And if we're talking about richuch and a change in the object, which gradually gets more and more intense from the first moment of kvisha until the 24 hours, then we're talking about kovish kemevushal as a pa'ula of bishul. You can actually classify it as bishul because it changes the nature of the object. Mishanes mahus ha'davar. And it should apply through Dvarim HaMisrachachim, like Kvushim and so forth like that. But if, on the other hand, I accept the approach of the Chavos Das and the Yad Yehuda, that the Plata Naseis, and I'm quoting Naseis, Rakli Achar Chof Dalit Shos, only at the end of the 24-hour period, that's when the Bli and the Plata takes place. There's no Mashahu, there's no gradual process, then the 24 hours is viewed as arichus man. Arichus man means it's one block of time at the end of which, meaning once that achieved, that block of time of kovish is achieved, that's when you have a bli and a pleita, and therefore it's got to be ritzufos. Obviously, if you hold like the chavis yoyer, that's a process that begins and increments and increases, intensifying b'chol rega v'rega, then you don't need Ritzufos, even Viserigin should accomplish Kovush Kimavusha. So Rabbo said, what comes out here is that all three issues are really totally in one basic Hakira. Do we accept the paradigm of Cheskes Abatim Ritzufos for, you know, as our working framework for Kovush Kimavushal, in which case what we're saying is that you need a block of time, you need Ritzufos. That means that everything's going to happen at the end of that block of time. Or are we saying, no, it's a gradual process? Now at this point, I think we should open up the Ramah in Kuf Hei and see if our discussion is going to shed a light on what we see here in the Ramah. Is there an extra copy of the Friedman Shulchan Aruch there? Okay, that's good.
Let me look out for this.
All right, so you look on with me. It's.
I'll look out.
Oh, okay. Okay, fine. There are two very important se'ifim here in Simon Kuf Hei, both of which I think are relevant, and I spoke about this last Monday, but now I think in the light of this article from the Moreshes Moshe, it takes on a whole new meaning. So Simon Kuf Hei is Din Isa Shenafel Toch Heter, but when it starts with the Shriya, and Shriya has to be Me'es La'es. Bitzone. Okay. And this...
You seem to have hit one.
Okay. So I'll just point out that it's here on page Shin Ches in the Friedman Shulchan Aruch, going on to Shin Yud, and finally on to Shin Yud Beis. And this is Simon Kuf Hei, Se'if Aleph. Okay. Now, what happens is that you have a kli that was bolea isur. It's what we would call in our mamalosh and a treifah pot. It's a treifah pot. It was used for shkotzim, vermosim, nevelis, and treifas. And now what you do is, instead of cooking in that treifah pot, which would certainly cause an isur, because the blia is now polate into the thing, what you did was you soaked something cold in this pot and you soaked it for a full 24 hours. So the Shulchan Aruch paskins in such a case that you have a serious issue. Now, for the time being, I'm not finding it in the Shulchan Aruch. We'll look for it later. But what I do find is the Taz. The Taz quotes this in the name of the Iser Vehet. So let's just read the language of the Iser Veheter. He says, "Im nishtaya habasar bishriyaso mi'es li'es, is sarak shishim keneged kulo, im hu shal eitz ocheres, the kaimalon kovush kibivushal afilu bekelim." So that the halach of kovush kibivushal doesn't only apply if you have two pieces of meat soaking together, or if you have meat soaking in milk, but it also applies if you have heter soaking in a kli iser. Because what's going to happen is that with the passage of time, the kli is going to be polate the tam iser aboluabo, and it's going to enter into this heter, the food that you're cooking, the food that's soaking in the pot, and therefore becomes osur. Says the Taz, v'lo uchal lahovin lama ye oser haheter b'kli shal isur. I cannot understand why this heter that's soaking in a kli shal isur should become osur. You have a treifa pot, and now you're soaking kosher meat, or let's say you're soaking milk, whatever you're soaking in this treifah pot. Why should it be osur? Harei ha'iser machas kavush hu rak achar shir kvisha shu me'es leis. It would have to be soaking in this pot for a period of 24 hours. The oz nasa kemavushal. Varei ba'osa shah nasa eino ben yomo. He says there's a logical contradiction in the Iser Veheter. Because at what point is Iser Veheter going to apply his chumrah that now the heter was bolea because it was soaking in this treifa pot after 24 hours? The very moment that 24 hours passes, the kli itself by definition is an eino ben yomo, and we apply the principle of nosin tam lefgam. So how could it possibly be that by soaking heter in a kli iser, it would become osur? Now, of course, you might ask, what happens if I cook in a treifa pot that's an eina ben yomo, that's more than 24 hours since it was cooked with treif? The answer is that b'diavad everything's mutter. Again, we're not going to advocate doing that with l'chatchila. So here, the Iser Veheter is telling you that food, that heter that was soaking in a kli iser for 24 hours is osur. You got to throw it in the rubbish bin. Why, says the Taz? By definition, since the process of blia takes place after 24 hours, the kli is an eina ben yomo. If it's an eina ben yomo, it's no sin tam lefgam. And the pella here to me is that the poskim, like pe'echad, quote this Iser Veheter l'halacha. I mean, the Taz completely rejects it, but the logic is very powerful. So what I want to share with you is an insight of Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach. And this you'll find in a sefer called Shev Shmaitita, which is authored by the Ketzos HaChoshen. Our own Rav Shimi Wieder gives a shir on that. And Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach wrote his own comments, which are published on his edition of the Shev Shmaita. And if you want to find it, just remember Gimel Zayin, Gaz. You know, now they're advertising also for Paz Gaz, right? So Gimel Zayin means Shmaita to Gimel Perek Zayin, right? There are seven Shmaitas, each one has a number of prokim. In the third Shmaita, in the seventh chapter, The Shev Shmaitita, actually, how much time do we have? About two more minutes?
Oh,
2 more minutes. So you know what? I'm going to give you what I'm going to give you is kind of like the tip of the iceberg.
So what time did you start? 7:30?
No, we didn't know you were coming. I'm sorry, Yitzhak. So I apologize to you. So we'll keep going, but Rabbi Kapustin has to go.
Yeah.
So
let me take this call then.
Okay, great. You take the call and come back. Yeah. Okay then?
Sorry, yeah.
If I had known you were coming, I would have organized a little differently.
Really, literally, a last minute.
Okay, great. No, I'm not being judgmental. I'm very happy you're here. Okay. Oh, so I'm going to give you the 2-minute blitz. He says the following, Rav Shlomo Zalman. The only way of understanding the Iser V'Heter is based on the fact that the Iser V'Heter holds that Safek Kavush is Osir, which is another Iser V'Heter. You know, it's in two places in his book. In one place he says that if it's Kavush in a Kli Iser for 24 hours, it's Osir. In another place he says that Safek Kavush, like, let's say for example, you know that the Iser was soaking in Heter, but you don't know if 24 hours passed, and we have to go L'chumer, it's Osir. So if Shlomo Zalman Auerbach asks the question, what do you mean? If you don't know that it soaked for 24 hours, then go back to the law of Chazaka. And the Chazaka was that since we know it was kosher before, we can assume it's kosher now. And until you know otherwise, assume it's kosher. And Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach doesn't understand why the Iser V'Heter would say that Safek Kavush is Asur. If you have a Safek, go back to the Cheskas Kashrus. So the Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach says that you know why the Cheskas Kashrus cannot help you here? Because it's the Iser V'Heter L'shitas. So since the Iser V'Heter holds that Kavush in a Kli is Asur, what he's holding is that the Bliya takes place at the very beginning of the process of Kavush. In other words, according to Rav Shlomo Zalman, we should identify the Iser V'Heter with the Shita of the Chavis Yar that we studied earlier, B'chol Rega V'Rega Polet Ma'at. So the status of and the process of Plita starts immediately. Again, albeit it's a Tam Kolish, but it's still a Tam. And then it would be also Ramashu, as we discussed. Ooh, if that be the case, says the Iser V'Heter, you know what? It's not like at the end of the 24 hours, all of a sudden it's Blia. And the Taz is right, but that's an Eina Ben Yomu, it's a Tam Pogum. No! The Tam is there from the beginning, from the get-go. And it's a gradual process in which that Tam builds up and builds up. There's a little bit of Tam every second, it gets more and more profound. In fact, that's why the Iser V'Heter holds that Safek Kavush is also. You asked me the question, but wait a minute. The Heter has a Cheskes Heter to it. So why the Safek are you asking? The answer is that there's a race on that Chazaka. It's not a very good Chazaka. Why? Because the Heter is already absorbing from the get-go a certain element, a mashu, if you will, of Tam Isur. That Tam Isur is already a reality. And therefore, the Cheskes Heter is not a very good Cheskes Heter. So basically, Rav Shlomo Zalman does a beautiful job here by connecting two Iser V'Heters, and it really comes back to this issue that we've been spending a lot of time on, how to understand the Meis Leis. Is the Meis Leis a long process, the sum total of which is 24 hours, but each part and parcel is a Bliya? Or no, the Meis Leis is one Chatich HaZman, it's one block of time, it's an Arich HaZman, and only at the end of the 24 hours does it become Osur.